Good afternoon. It's good to see everybody here today. This Sunday, we can greet each other with, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Today, we have a different kind of speaker talking about a resurrection of a life from prison. Art Hallett was a software designer, making big bucks in the private sector as a system analyst, and visited his wife's cousin in prison, and God grabbed a hold of his heart, and he realized this is a ministry. And so he has now developed a nonprofit which reaches over 300 prisons nationwide. You'll be hearing more about that. Art and I are yoke fellows in the Evangelism Explosion Ministry. The Evangelism Explosion Prison Ministry is a ministry of Evangelism Explosion. So we have the privilege of working together. He had me down last year at Sarasota to speak at their annual banquet. Art is a wonderful, wonderful Christian brother. So let me pray, and then we'll welcome him up on our stage. Father, thank you so much for Arthur Hallett. Thank you for his impact. Only eternity will be able to judge all the lives that have been changed, the lives that have been challenged, and the resurrection power that he's been able to demonstrate to the incarcerated church, really worldwide. Thank you for Art, and I pray you bless him now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my brother.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Self, for allowing me to be a part of your ministry today. And we will, I'm going to take you into the prisons. I'm actually going to give you a look into the prisons and see the resurrection power of Christ in the lives of those that appear to be unredeemable. But it is not God's desire that any perish, but that everyone have everlasting life. And God is reaching into a place where some would say is unreachable. And so you'll get to see some of that. And also, you'll be able to, hopefully God will bring to your mind people and friends that you know that are experiencing the sting of incarceration. And then you will be able to contact us, and we'll be able to help those people and maybe help you in that area. But I want to start out right here by introducing myself through a little DVD. Hello, I'm Reverend Arthur Hallett, and I'm the Director of Prison Ministries for Evangelism Explosion International. My family and I have been involved in prison ministry for over 30 years. In the year 2000, I came on staff at EE and began working towards the goal to implement the EE ministry in every prison of the United States, and ultimately, every nation. Currently, we are ministering in over 300 prisons in 37 states and 9 nations. EE International was founded by Dr. D. James Kennedy over 50 years ago and continues to provide services to local churches and communities in every nation of the world. While Dr. Kennedy developed the EE tool for the local church to equip their laymen to share their faith through community outreach and personal evangelism, Prison EE adapted and ported the EE tool into a college-credited curriculum called Fresh Start. Now, Fresh Start works under the rules and the regulations of the prison system to provide the same training as the local church to inmates in county jails and state and federal prisons. Fresh Start uses new lifestyles of teaching that cross generational boundaries, utilizing video, audio, and visual aids. The training provides knowledge on how to better communicate with people of all generations to build new and lasting relationships as well as deepen existing ones. Not only does it enhance the communication skills of the student, but it also provides integral components of training such as life skills, communication skills, etiquette training, and more. Additionally, the Fresh Start curriculum prepares the incarcerated student for a positive lifestyle on the compound and for reentry into society. Fresh Start is also designed to be integrated into existing discipleship models or programs. Optionally, it can be used inclusively as a standalone program. Now, our goal is to assist the chaplaincy in whichever way is most beneficial to their program.
These are the gentlemen that we want to recognize as having graduated from the fall semester of their EE here, Classic EE.
In carrying out our goal to train incarcerated saints, we train and recruit church leaders and volunteers from around the world. These leaders and volunteers are from various vocations and church backgrounds, and they facilitate and teach our Fresh Start curriculum to inmates. Additionally, they provide prison ministry seminars and training to churches local in their area. It is our belief that every church should have a jail and/or prison ministry to accommodate families who are impacted through the experience of incarceration. In our society, over 2 million Americans are in jail or prison. Now that's one out of every 99.1 adults. Now whether per capita or in raw numbers, it's more than any other nation. We believe that it is the duty of the people of faith and morality to get involved and provide the only solution to reducing this atrocity against humanity and God. That solution is a regeneration of the heart and consequently the regeneration of a new lifestyle. The national recidivism rate is around 85%. Of those who were released and had completed our Fresh Start curriculum, the recidivism rate is more than 95% less than that of the national recidivism rate. While Prison EE is not the only ministry that is assisting the penal system in their mission for rehabilitation and reentry, it is a prison ministry whose tools are clearly impacting the hearts of the incarcerated, such that through its regeneration process, God is using Fresh Start to reveal to the world such astounding statistics.
The most impactful thing EE has given to me is the very basics and fundamentals of Christianity in the Word of God, in prayer, fellowship, worshiping God, and witnessing as a way of life that make disciples.
Every time I visit a prison and shake the hand of an incarcerated resident, I know I'm shaking the hand of someone's father, someone's mother, brother, someone's sister, someone's child. And I believe that someone outside of the prison is praying for their loved ones' well-being and hoping for a change in their lives. God is using Prison EE to bring about that change in answer to their prayers. No one on earth is exempt from the potential sting of incarceration. If you or someone you know needs assistance in coping with the effects of incarceration, Prison EE is here to help. We've just begun our work here in the state of Texas, and since I've been here in this last 2 weeks, last week, we graduated 60 men from the highest levels of our training right here in Texas. I went and I talked with a chaplain at Woodville, and we're getting ready to start it there. And then last night I was at Cleveland. We're getting ready to start it there. We had a worship service last night. There was about 200 men that participated, and out of that 200 men, 75 of them gave their lives to the Lord for the first time, and that was exciting. And it's the beginning of a good thing. Amen. Beginning of a good thing. 75% of incarcerated women are mothers, or of incarcerated, 75% of them. Texas alone has that same statistic just in Texas. I just discovered that Texas spends about, every 2 years you spend about, what did I say, $6 billion every 2 years to incarcerate folk right here in your state. It ain't going away. But it can be better if the church would rise up and open their eyes and begin to apply that scripture that I had where God said, don't forget the prisoners, but remember them as if you yourselves are prisoners. Now, I'm going to just zip through this as quickly as possible just to sort of enlighten you and help you to understand the impact that your prayers can have and the impact that you and I can have if we'll just do something about what God will tell us. The national recidivism rate, I said it, it's about 85% return within 3 years. That's called rehabilitation. The word rehabilitation means to return someone to their original state. The fact is, folks, rehabilitation ain't working. When I think of rehabilitation, I think also of the definition for insanity.
It works about the same. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. So we know that rehabilitation alone doesn't work. 85% return within 3 years, either for the same crime, a new crime, or parole violation. And wait, I like what Jesus said. Look, he says, but if I do his work, EEPM, we're at a 2.8% return rate. Since 1992, I started collecting data of men and women who would go through our curriculum and then be released. They're not going back. And so I come into the states all over this country, and I say, I don't come apologizing for being a man of faith. I don't come apologizing for being a Christian. I come with the absolute facts that what we do work. If you really want to reduce recidivism rate, then we've got the plan. And what it is, it's regeneration. Regeneration works. Now, rehabilitation, there's aspects of rehabilitation that, okay, bring the person back to their original state. Now, regenerate their heart so that they don't go back to where they came from. Then we can break out of that insanity. And because I like what the scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come in. That's works. Now, the way we do our ministry in prison, we have facilitators that go in from the local church, just like yourselves, businessmen, doctors, lawyers, anyone of faith can go into the prisons and can begin to facilitate this curriculum. Here is a little look on the inside of the prison of a graduation of a facilitator.
Turner. Now, John, if you come back up here for a moment, listen, these gentlemen have made perfect attendance. You know what? Man, if I could just sort of bottle you guys up and take you all over Florida.
Amen.
I wish I could bring some of y'all home to my house because I got some yard work that needs to be done. If my yard looked as good as the yard you guys keep out here, well, I'd just say bring them home. You know, they used to do that in the old days.
Yes, sir.
In the old day, you guys got to come out and do some yard work. Man, I'd sure have you at my house doing some yard work.
Yes, sir.
Y'all be looking good on this compound. Amen. John, listen. Brother John Wolfley, I am honored to know this brother. And I am honored come over here, because I want you to get right in the middle of it. I am honored that the Lord has allowed us to hook up and to partner together. And he has allowed me to serve this man. That's my position, is to serve him. Whatever he needs, and also whatever the chaplain needs, that's why we're here. We're here not to run things, but we're here to empower and to facilitate. And that's our whole ministry. Dr. Kennedy has really taught us one thing. Any ministry that ceases without you is not a ministry of God. We want to make sure whether the Lord takes me home or not, I know this ministry is going on because he's poured into John the passion of God's calling, and John is pouring that into all these men right here. That's why they're here, because he's here facilitating, empowering. That's why the facilitators, God is pouring into them that spirit, that attitude of facilitating, of empowering, of passing on, training others. That's what it's all about. If you gentlemen will continue to be faithful, and continue to keep your eyes on the Lord and not on man. Continue to honor God by having a record that is respect for the authorities. Letting God change your life and do what he's doing in your life through this process of reading his word and studying. You will honor God, and his kingdom will be blessed and will increase.
Amen. Amen. I sort of cut it short there. There's a little bit more. But the fact is, when we can go into the prison systems and we can begin to empower and encourage and bring the hope of Christ's resurrection, the hope of Christ's salvation into the prison systems, it will change our world. And so inside of the prison, we have components that provide awareness of transitional needs, because we know that 95% of the men and women who are incarcerated get out, only 5% stay in. They're already your neighbors. They're already in your churches. And you can't get rid of them. And so it's important that we do something about it. Now, facilitators are mentors, and they help the students to think through ways in which to prepare for the return to society. That's one of the key elements that's helping us to prepare them so that they don't come back into the prisons. They're equipped and prepared for reentry, and in some cases, for a lifetime of incarceration. That 5% may not ever get out. But you know what? When you begin to empower them and train them, they have a different attitude when their lifestyle changes. They know they're not getting out, but they know others who are getting out. So then they begin to train. They begin to disciple. They begin to minister those who are getting ready to come back into our streets, and they're teaching them the way of the Lord, and that's their ministry. I believe that one day when I get to heaven and I look for Paul and Silas and I see Jesus walking down the golden streets, and I'm going to think it's Paul, but it's not going to be Paul next to Jesus. It's not going to be Dr. Billy Graham. It'll probably be one of these men who was incarcerated for 30 years who did a greater work than Paul has even done. Paul's work is recorded, but there's still an opportunity for all of us to do a greater work than Paul if we will do it. And there's men and women who are incarcerated for all of their lives that are doing that. Here's a look at inside, just a little peek of the life of a lifer.
He's a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine.
He'll never get out.
Well-known between both of his name is Carl Kartika. He was a singer in my rock band, and all the time witnessing to my young, dumb mind, and he was constantly there. And I said, you know, Carl, I've been doing this all my life. I don't know anything else, and I don't want to change this. I'm a musician. This is what I do. I don't know how to be anything else, and I don't want to fake anything. He said, I'm not asking you to fake anything. I want you to just come and meet somebody. And so he brought me over to the chapel. Mr. Art Hallett was there, big guy. And I mean, and you've met him. I wanted to ask this earlier if there's anybody that's just meeting him for the first time. You can see that charisma. You can see that energy. And when I got to meet him and he played the flute, he sang, he was in this band, he had the whole thing going on. And I said, I can do that. You know what I mean? I can do that. And a spark came to me, and this is how great God is, because he's designed us to be exactly what we are. I don't mean prisoners, okay? That's not what he designed us to be. He's designed us to be something special in his will. He has a work for each of us to do, and he's made you specifically to be able to do that. Most of us in here have some kind of gift of evangelism. That's why you're here. That's why you're tied in with John. Great man. Great, man. I thank you for speaking with me. I thank you for your friendship and the example that you set. I mean that wholeheartedly, and I wanted to take this time to say that to you as well, because you guys are the guys that are example to me, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. My life has changed because of Jesus working in these men's lives that were willing to get in the rut with me and say, Jesus loves you, and he has a purpose for you, and now I'm in music ministry, and I'm still playing music for the Lord, and I don't have to go back. All that stuff's over with. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
you can do that is know that Christ is in your
heart. How has your EE training,
a lifer,
assisted you in the strength of your discipleship?
More than anything else is the very foundational principles that EE has taught me of Christianity, in as being rooted and grounded in the Word, mm-hmm. being rooted in prayer, mm-hmm. not forsaking the fellowship, worshiping God, mm-hmm. and witnessing not only as a way of life, because it goes far beyond witnessing. Jesus said, make disciples. And making disciples is teaching all nations everything that Christ has commanded us. So I do that in every I don't miss the opportunity to teach my children. And they grab a hold of it, because when I first got saved 4 years ago almost, a little over 4 years ago, is when I really began started discipling my children. And they were, my son was six, and my niece was 3 years old. And leading them to the Lord was so simple. I mean, I use what E.E. has taught me about the door in the heart, the verse. I said, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Do you want to let him in? And they asked me, like, Dad, who's Jesus? I said, Jesus is God. And I said, he wants a place in your heart. And he's like, is he in your heart, Dad? I said, yes, he's in my heart. He said, well, I want him in my heart, too. I said, well, all you have to do is open the door. He's like, well, Jesus, come into my heart. And I'm just like, you know, we think we need all these formulas and stuff. It's not about formulas. No. It's just an act of faith.
There it is.
Amen. Just an act of faith. And so the curriculum that we use can be a standalone or it can be integrated into different discipleship models. I had a dream not too long ago because one of the major problems is that felons, when they get out, they can't get work. How many in here have a job? Yeah, everybody's got a job. And you have families, and you're able to take care of your families. Here are some guys, their hearts have been regenerated, and women, but they get out, they're the last ones, mainly because companies say, you're a liability, and I don't have the bonding to hire you. And so that's unfortunate. So I've been in the ministry for about 30 years. For the past 30 years, my wife and I have been in a prison somewhere every month for the past 30 years. And we've got to know these men and women who will be transformed and released. And it breaks your heart when they get out and they really want to work and they'll do anything, and anything won't even be available to them. And so the Lord gave me a dream, and I guess I'm telling my age now, because that says that the old men will dream dreams and the young men will have visions. So the Lord gave me a dream, and that dream, I wrote it down, and out of that dream, I came up with a program that there's a proposal for it, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to blow in about $1 million so that we can implement it. But when this particular program happens, it's going to change the world. It literally will change the world. And what we're doing now is a module that will be inside of this. It's called Entrepreneur 321. The 3 represents the Father. The 2 represents the Son. The 1 represents the Holy Spirit. Inside of the prison, it works with the last 3 years of their sentence, preparing them to be entrepreneurs. The last year, there's a mentor who is in that particular entrepreneurship who will walk alongside of them. Maybe it's one of you guys who is an entrepreneur in here that would go into the prison system, and you, for 2 hours, once a week, for 2 hours, for 1 year, you'll mentor someone who's getting ready to do the same business that you're doing, and you'll disciple them and help them through that transition. Post-release, after they get out, since 2011, more are being released than admitted to prison. So it's a whole new day now. More are coming out, so we've got to get ready for that. And so what we do after prison is we assist the local church in providing what we call returning citizens support in their transition to society. E321 is going on. Once you get on the other side, they will spend another 3 years, and that 3 years will be in actually developing the entrepreneurship. When they get out, by this time, they're ready to work. We will provide them with everything they need to start the business. We will lease them tools and equipment and everything they need for that period of time. And then that's called retribution. I talked about rehabilitation or regeneration versus retribution. And so retribution comes in a lot of different aspects. We could save ourselves a lot of money by applying the retribution on the front end, because there's a whole lot of men and women who are incarcerated who could have started retribution rather than going to prison. We could have put them to work. We could have put them to work and avoided spending a lot of money to incarcerate them and watch over them. And if you guys will pray with me on this, I believe one day that's going to happen. Now, how can we help? How can we help? First off, when appropriate, involve returning citizens in your church's outreach ministry. When you go back to your churches, please ask your pastor, ask your leaders, do we have a jail or prison ministry? There are people in your churches that are hurting. They will not tell you that their husband is incarcerated, that their daughter went to jail for a DUI, and they don't know how to handle it, and the devil is having havoc. He's destroying families, and we're not doing anything about it. So ask your church, do they have a jail or a prison ministry? Get ready, because we're sending them out. As they come out, they are coming out ready to reach people in your community, ready to go proclaim the gospel, ready to equip and train others. Take a look at this, what this
the
guy has to say.
The pastor is given the responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If we don't equip people for evangelism, then what is the work of the ministry? Jesus said, I'm here to seek and to save that which is lost. So we as pastors have that responsibility. I think I get really excited about the generational impact of evangelism explosion. One time at our church in Atlanta, I was able to line up 7 people. One person trained another person who trained another person who trained another person. Dr. Kennedy used to say, you can count the seeds in an apple. You cannot count the apples in a seed. And so we never know the extent of the multiplication that happens through evangelism explosion.
You'll never know the extent. I submit to you that we're sending them out. They're coming back. And it's already proven. The proof is in the pudding. When they come back, they're not going back. But we teach them to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, this is where I just came from. This is what God has taught me while I was there. Is there a place for you in my for me and my family in your church? And if the pastor says no, because some of the things they'll hear, they go, no, I don't think we got a place for you. They won't get mad at them. They say, not a problem. They'll dust the dirt off their feet, and they'll go find a church where they can grow, where they can participate, where they can bring to the table what God wants us to bring to the table. So be doers. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you today, do something about it. Don't just walk away from here with a delicious meal, and it was delicious. And I plan on taking some with me. I'm still in town tonight and tomorrow, so I'm going to have dinner tonight. I'm having barbecue tonight. Amen. But keep on loving each other. Don't forget to show hospitality and remember those in prison. Don't think that this was an accident that today I'm here and you've heard what you've heard. The Lord ordains my steps. He ordains yours, believe it or not. Someone once asked me, what's God's job description? It's really simple. He runs things. He's in charge. And then pray. When you go back to your churches, establish prayer circles for specific prayers on behalf of the incarcerated people that are in your church. Begin to pray for them, and you'll find they will come out of the woodworks. And they got talents. They got gifts. I mean, these folks have, there's anointed people who have gone through the prison system, and God has released. And so establish, but take action. And as you take action, within the next 24 hours, take measures to meet with church leaders, discuss the feasibility of reentry support. I now have a free seminar workshop that I'll bring into the church and teach the church how to prepare for inmates or returning citizens and how to help them to cope with the transition back into society. And then encourage family members of the incarcerated to contact your church's prison ministry or contact our office if you don't have a prison ministry. We're here to help. God has placed us. We provide counseling to families, to mothers who are out there. There are mothers that saying, my husband went to jail. I don't know what to do. I never had a job. I just took care of the family. What do I do, Art? And we'll come alongside of them, and we'll help them to cope, and we'll show them the love of Christ, and we'll do everything we can to help those families. And that's the work of the church. Now, the church is not the building. We are the church. And that's the work that we need to be doing. And then, lastly, allocate benevolence. I'm right on time. Allocate benevolent funds in your missions budget for jail and prison ministry work effort. And please, when you do that, be generous. Talk to your folk. Tell them to, hey, look, are we supporting? We have some jail and prison ministers here that go there every week. Do we have some money, some benevolent money to help them? Because they're spending their own money most of the time. Give them some gas. We have something. Put it in the benevolence fund. And be generous. Take a look at this. Yeah. Oops. Let's try it again. Don't tell me. I love this DVD. Unfortunately, well, I guess you weren't supposed to see that DVD. I was hoping that you could see that DVD. It was only about 3-minute clip. It wouldn't click. Can you see if you can click it? Click on the DVD.
It was so frustrating. Just when you are ready to give, you feel the compelling urge to hoard. along with hard-to-describe sensations in your arms and hands that keep you from being able to let go. It's called close fist syndrome, or CFS. Close fist syndrome is the overwhelming urge to hold on to cash at all costs. This can lead to some very difficult situations, making normal, daily events a major obstacle. CFS can turn a bad situation into a nightmare.
License and registration, please.
My doctor said CFS is a recognized medical condition. And then he said something else. Generous. He said Generous would help relieve those CFS symptoms that keep me from giving. He told me what to watch for, that Generous may cause you to give more money away than is financially responsible, or to prematurely cash in your 401k. Tell your doctor if you experience these problems. Do not mix alcohol with Generous, or you will lose the shirt off your back. Side effects can include bankruptcy, foreclosure, and living in a van down by the river. Most participants were not bothered enough to stop taking Generous. Ask your doctor if Generous can help you overcome CFS and get you giving again.
All righty then. So when you go back to your church, I want you to tell them, we want you to be generous. And in your generosity, if you want to be generous and help us to do what we're doing, go to that website, www.prisonee.org. And you can click on that and you can provide personal support to our ministry to help us to reach over 300. We're right now 300 prisons, 9 nations. Last year I had an invitation to, Dave and I, we had an invitation to Indonesia. While I was in Indonesia, there was 86 nations represented in Indonesia who came to talk about multiplying their nations, and we're going back in about 3 years to see how the nations have multiplying as they proclaim the gospel all over the world. And I had an opportunity to speak there at the nations. And after I finished, I had 12 nations come up to me and say, I shared a little bit of this. I had 12 nations come up to me and say, we want this in our nation. And my response was really simple. If you fly me, I will come. Now, fortunately, I don't have to be flown because our curriculum is a DVD-based curriculum that is facilitated with me teaching on DVD at all different levels, and I can place that in the hands of the local church, in the hands of other ministries so that they can do what we're doing. I want to thank you for taking this time to hear what the Lord would have me share with you today. Please be doers. I know God has sparked your heart somewhere. He's reminded you of friends who are experiencing incarceration, loved ones, cousins, uncles. Do something about it. Don't just sit there and say, oh, wow, I feel bad for you. You could do something. Contact us. Contact your church. Do something about it because we've got to change this world and the way it's going now. Thank you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Father, thank you so much for Art and the wonderful talents and gifts you've given him and how he left a very lucrative professional position to serve the incarcerated church, and what an impact he's had. Pray blessings on him, on his family, and thank you for this ministry. In Christ's name, amen. God bless y'all. See ya. See ya.